hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of The Podcast Report. Of course, this is the podcast that is solely devoted to the podcasting track of Blog World and New Media Expo. Today we're going to talk about the virtual ticket option, some of the sessions that will be coming up here at Blog World NYC in June, and of course, a little bit of announcements at the end of the episode as well. My name is Cliff Ravenscraft from PodcastAnswerMan.com and your host for the Podcast Report. I hope that you guys are getting as excited as I am for Blog World. And I know that some of you out there desperately want to attend, but for some reason, you're not able to. And my friends, that's why I decided to make sure that we had Johnny B. Truant, our virtual ticket correspondent, to come on board and tell us what is going on for those of you who cannot attend, who can't make the travel to New York City, but would definitely love to benefit from the content that's being put together, not just on the podcasting track, but the entire conference as a whole. What option is there for you? And so we're going to go ahead and turn over to a pre-recorded interview that I did with Johnny. Let's go ahead and play that interview for you right now. All right, my friends, I have Johnny B. Truant on the line with me right now, and he is the host of the virtual ticket option for Blog World and New Media Expo. Johnny, thank you for coming on to the Podcast Report.
Well, thanks for having me on, Cliff. Really appreciate it.
Hey, I also want to congratulate you. I understand you just launched your very first podcast.
I did, and it is a large credit goes to you as Podcast Answer Man for helping me out with that, even though you didn't know you were helping me.
Well, I'm always glad to be out there inspiring people to launch new shows. Real quick, where can people find your podcast? Or actually, tell us what your podcast is, what it's about, and then where can they find your podcast?
Our podcast is, it's me and two other guys, Sean Platt and David Wright, and it's all about digital self-publishing, mainly through like Amazon's Kindle program. And it's at selfpublishingpodcast.com. And actually, before we recorded this, I got a little bit of free audio advice from you, Cliff. And I know that I can take my voice up significantly just by changing some settings. And I really appreciate that.
Excellent. Well, I'm delighted to help. And we're here, however, to talk to you about the virtual ticket option. You know, this virtual ticket, this is where, let's just say there are folks out there, I guess, that can't attend Blog World for whatever reason, scheduling conflicts, whatever the case may be. Maybe the travel for them is not within the budget this year, but they can still have some sort of connection to the content that takes place at Blog World. Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Cliff. And the basic idea behind the virtual ticket is originally they recorded all the sessions, and it was kind of the take-home version of Blog World. And that it still kind of is that. It still kind of is you either attend Blog World and it's live and you want to have those recorded sessions to go back to later, or you weren't able to make it live and this is sort of your next best thing. But the other thing that we tried to do when I took this over last time in LA is we tried to bring back not just the content of the live event, but also as much of the experience as we can. So in other words, instead of just getting archived recordings, which is what the virtual ticket used to be, we're doing I'm calling them like quasi-live extras, meaning that they won't be live because we can't rely on reliable internet to do things live, but we'll do like audio dailies that we'll be publishing for people. We'll be sort of your eyes and ears on the floor of the conference, just trying to replace some of the experience of being there live through various means.
Walk me through this. I can wrap my head around the idea that if I sign up for the virtual ticket option, that means that sometime after the conference, and am I right that you're going to get all this content after the conference?
The actual sessions, that's a ton of content. So it takes us about a week, which we're actually pretty proud of that turnaround time. So for the actual session content, yes, it would be after the conference, about a week after.
So about a week after the conference, I sign up for this virtual ticket option. About a week later, after the conference has ended, I will have access to go and download
each and every one of the sessions. And they're pretty much most all audio. Are there any video options for some of those sessions?
Yeah, we have multiple options for each. So what they do is they record the audio of every speaker through their mic or whatever, and then they record any AV presentation that they have, any slide deck that they present, or anything that's projected to the front of the screen. So it just comes out of their computer. So you have that video. It's not video of the speaker. It's a video of their presentation and their audio. So you can watch the video, and that's what most people do, sort of like a webinar. And you can watch that live, or you can download it and, you know, keep it or whatever. And then also we have the MP3 recording if you just want to listen to it in the audio format.
Excellent. So you're telling me that you're hosting these somewhat quasi-live events. When do people get those, or do they get that after the event as well?
That's something that we're still sort of trying to hash out the details of. But the idea right now is that there will be basically three extra components that we are adding to the virtual ticket in addition to what I already described with the sessions. So the first is simple, is social media interaction. So we take pictures, we talk to people, we tweet, we Facebook, whatever it is that we're doing, just to sort of keep people informed about what's going on. And that's the simplest level.
Well, before you go sure. on to the second and the third, are you telling me that that is something unique and accessible only to the folks that are signing up through the virtual ticket?
Currently, most of that would be public just by the nature of Twitter. It's the Twitter account is BlogWorldVT, and pretty much anybody can follow that. But this is the difficulty of doing it earlier with so many things being in flux. I don't know if we're going to have like a private Facebook group or something. So I can't totally answer that part of the question.
But if somebody does sign up and pay for the virtual ticket option, knowing that they're going to 1 week after the conference get access to every session, the recordings of both the presentations and audio and also the audio file by itself, they know they're going to get that. But I would imagine that if they do sign up for the virtual ticket, as you get closer and you iron out how you're going to do each of these items that you're talking about, you'll have their email address so that you can email them and communicate to them what is available to them as the conference is going on. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We send periodic updates to anybody who's purchased the virtual ticket. I mean, if for no other reason than we need to give them their logins and so forth for the private virtual ticket members site. Just let them know what we're doing and keep them informed.
Okay, so number one, Facebook updates, social media updates, Twitter, all that stuff. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Actually, I did. Number two, what was the second one?
The other two are the really cool ones. So one is behind the scenes sort of in-depth interviews with whoever we run across. So if I ran across you, Cliff, then I could get you to sit down in front of our background, our Blog World background, and we do just like a brief video interview, just talking about things that you may have covered during your session. But the idea is to add extra dimension, stuff that people live won't even get.
Gotcha.
We'll do a few of those. We don't know for sure the number, but we'll get as many folks as we can. It's like bonus materials on a DVD.
Excellent. And then you said there was a third thing?
The third thing is going to be dailies. So when people shoot a movie, there are sort of, we're thinking of it this way. There are the dailies that were shot that day. And so we're going to do those as audio. I'm going to walk around with, you know, either a digital recorder of some kind and do brief audio interviews with people. And we're going to post those daily. So if we do one during the day on Friday, then the virtual ticket attendees will be able to listen to those Friday night.
Now, here's the thing. That's for those who can't attend, maybe because it doesn't fit onto your schedule or the travel and this, you know, and all of that might be out of the budget range. But for those who are coming to the conference, I would recommend this. And it's not just because I'm trying to sell anything, because honestly, it doesn't add anything to me. But seriously, I would recommend getting this as the podcast track leader, the one who's put together all 24 sessions of the podcasting track. Which, by the way, the podcasting track is literally just two sessions per time slot out of, I don't know what, 15, 16 different sessions happening at the same time in this place. So there's a lot of sessions to choose from. And even within podcasting, just with the two options that you'll have from one podcasting session to the other podcasting session during every single time slot for the 3 days, you're going to have to choose one of those podcasting sessions over the other. Or you might even choose a different session somewhere else in another track and miss out on some great material. I know personally, I put the schedule together and there's still going to be some times on this schedule where I definitely want to be in both places at the same time. So what happens to those who are coming to the conference if they want the virtual ticket? Do they have to pay the conference price plus that full virtual ticket price?
We actually found that, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I would say a large number, let's just say it that way, of people who purchased the virtual ticket last year were live attendees. And the price for live attendees to add on is, and again, I don't know if the site reflects this now, this is what we're shooting for, it should be $97 through the conference. So you can actually add it at registration. And that's what a lot of people did, is they got there and they kind of looked around and said exactly what you're saying, Cliff, that it was like, wow. A great example is I'm more in the blogging sphere, and the Sonia Simone from and Chris Garrett from Copyblogger and ChrisGarrett.com, two very well-known names in the blogging sphere, had this great presentation at the same time as Darren Rouse from ProBlogger, who is another huge name. And people would want to see both of those, but they couldn't. So a lot of people added on the virtual ticket because then they could go back and get all the information that they missed, and just for another $97.
Okay, so let's just say the folks are going to the conference. They've, you know, gone in, registered for the 3-day blogger/podcaster pass. They've added on the virtual ticket option. How long before they get their credentials, and do they just wait for you to communicate to them? How does that work out?
That's the best bet, is to wait for us, because even if you receive credentials right away, there's kind of nothing that you can do, because we don't really add content until the actual live event. But we'll be communicating with you. That's what we did in LA, is just sort of let people know what we're going to be doing and all of that. So you just sort of wait and watch your inbox.
Excellent. Well, Johnny, is there anything else you want people to know about the virtual ticket option that I didn't ask?
I just want to underscore the idea of this being an alternative to live attendance, because you got to remember, I mean, BlogWorld holds these in New York, in like central Manhattan. And I don't remember what a hotel room costs, but if you're getting the 3-day blogger pass, remember, unless you live there, you're getting 4 nights a hotel plus a flight. So that is a significant chunk, and it's totally worth it. I mean, BlogWorld is amazing, but if you can't quite swing the $2,000 or whatever it is, then this is a really good way to sort of get a lot, and in some ways more, a lot of ways more than what you would get even live.
I certainly see that as an option. And by the way, the hotels are right around $200, $300 a night on average, depending on where you stay. But so for the cost of one night in the hotel, you could have yourself the virtual ticket option and have access to every single bit of recording. However, and I certainly believe that this is a reason why a lot of people who have already made the decision, I am not going to BlogWorld because of the cost, definitely consider getting the virtual ticket. I mean, it is definitely going to be worthwhile for all the materials. I just know from the podcasting track alone, the content that's available there is just going to be top-notch, highly valuable information. Now, for those of you who are on the fence, you know, oh, you know what? I was thinking about going to BlogWorld, didn't know if I wanted to have the expense, and oh, wow, this, you know what? I could get by with just that option instead. I just want to say, if you're on the fence, meaning that if you're on the fence, that means that chances are you could probably squeeze and make it work. My friends, come to BlogWorld. Make it happen. It will be an investment. Even if you're doing this as a hobby, it will invest in your hobby in such a way that you will benefit. Because certainly the virtual ticket folks are going to get that content. They're going to get that information. But what you're going to get as an attendee is not only the access to the live information, you get the opportunity during almost every session to ask questions, so you can actually kind of control what content actually gets recorded for the people in the virtual ticket. But also, you'll have the opportunity to actually meet each of these speakers. You'll actually have the opportunity to invite people out to lunch. You'll have the opportunity to meet other podcasters, other bloggers, and build a relationship that could make things happen that you never dreamed possible. So I'm just thankful that Blog World has this option, both for those who want the full benefits of Blog World, but also for those who are not able to make it, or for those who are going to make it, but not able to attend every single session they want to attend, to have this available. So, Johnny, thank you so much for coming on and telling us. Anything else that I left out?
No, just that that you nailed it right on the head, that it's not a competing product. I totally agree. If you can go live, go live. This is if you can't.
Johnny, thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, Cliff.
Well, my friends, it is now time to turn our attention over to yet another pre-recorded interview that I made for this episode of the Podcast Report. Let me go ahead and play for you an interview with Ivo Terra. All right, my friends, I am on the line with Ivo Terra. Ivo, thank you for coming on to the Podcast Report, my friend.
Thanks for having me here, Cliff.
Hey, I am excited to let people know that I think you are going to be the hardest working person as far as a speaker at Blog World and New Media Expo and NYC. 5 different sessions you're going to be sitting in on. Are you up for this?
I can do it. I can do it, man. I back in the day in 2005, I coined myself the hardest working man in podcasting because, you know, launching podcast networks and doing, I think, 5 different shows at any given time. So it seems appropriate. I think I can charge through.
Well, I'll tell you what, for those who are unaware, we'll get into the sessions that you're going to be a part of. Some of them, 2 of them you're leading yourself and 3 others that you'll be sitting in on as a panelist. Mm-hmm. Let's let people know who you are. How did you get into podcasting? When did you get into podcasting?
So I got into podcasting on October 14th, 2004. That is an exact date. And according to Podcast Alley, we had the 40th show that was listed on podcast. So I'm taking the number 40 slot, regardless of those people who might have been podcasting and didn't know about Podcast Alley. I did. And so therefore I win. I had been doing an online radio show that became a terrestrial radio show that became a satellite radio show that eventually became a live on-air radio show at one of the number one talk radio show, not talk radio station in the entire Southwest. Of course, right-wing politics is what the radio station was all about, but we were doing shows on science fiction. So it was a little strange fit for radio, but we had managed to make somewhat of a splash. And then I heard about podcasting. My partner at the time, Michael R. Menengay, we were doing a show called The Dragon Page. And he told me, what's this podcasting thing? And I said, I don't know. But as soon as I did know, we were podcasting because we already had a blog. We were using RSS feeds as part of our blog. We were creating MP3 files. They were very high quality MP3 files and sending them off to our radio stations, including XM satellite. So we were doing all of the stuff that a podcaster has to do. All we had to do was figure out the enclosure file, which took me about 3 seconds, and we were podcasting. It was as simple as that. And so that's where it all began, and kind of went crazy right after that.
Well, you know, I started podcasting in December of 2005. And when I was doing researching for podcasting, your name did come up quite a bit. And I think the way that I know you most, or at least before, you know, working with you here for Blog World, I knew you through something called Podio Books. Can you tell us what Podio Books is and how that got started?
Sure. Podiobooks.com is a blending of self-made, most of the time, audiobooks and podcasting. In a nutshell, we distribute audiobooks. We make them in serialized form. They're episodic, not one big, huge file. But each book is broken up into multiple files. Some of those are 3 or 4 files for very small books, but some are... We even have one book that has 100 episodes. Yikes. And we deliver those as podcasts. And that's something that... I started up as you mentioned, early 2005. We had helped Scott Sigler, who is probably the most well-known author out there who's used podcasting to really build his fan base and get some significant deals from major publishers like Crown, a division of Random House. He started up, he had this idea about starting this to podcast his book and give it away for free as an audiobook. At almost exactly the same time, T. Morris, one of our participants at Blog World 2012, also came up with the idea independently and said, what do you think if I release my book as a podcast episode 1 week at a time? and another author friend of mine, whom I'd told about podcasting, but I wasn't sure what he could do with it, named Mark Jeffrey, who had went into a studio and recorded his own book called The Pocket and the Pendant and had it as an audiobook. And he said, what am I going to do with this now? And I said, well, here's what these other two guys are doing. And he said, yes, that's exactly what I'll do. So when these three guys all said, I want to do this, I decided we need to actually put something together that can house all of these things, less about a podcast network and more about kind of a bookstore or a library, if you will, where people could go get this content. And so thanks to a very smart listener of mine named Chris Miller, who has become a very good friend of mine, he programmed up the working stuff that makes patiobooks.com run. And now there are 600 titles, I think, we have available. Fast forward to 2012, and there are 600 different audiobooks available as podcasts you can get totally free of charge. It's great.
Wow. And all of those, are they in iTunes as well? People can go there and pick those up and subscribe
to them? You can just search on patiobooks.com on iTunes, and you'll see all of them listed there. Or just, you know, search for audiobook or serialized audiobook. You know, iTunes is a little bit funny. They're podcasts first and foremost. iTunes is very, very particular about calling things audiobooks, and the audiobooks section of iTunes is completely dominated and owned, if you will, by Audible. And our books will not show up in there because those are traditional, download this one single file and you're fine, where ours being serialized are in RSS feeds. So you'll find all of ours in the podcast section.
Excellent. Now, Scott, you said that you started out podcasting, or you had the radio show and did all the stuff that was science fiction. Are you an author yourself?
I am an author, but not because of science fiction. My partner on that radio show was an author, and that's why he had started the show originally, and our science fiction show was interviewing authors. No, I didn't get into authorship until I was asked to write Podcasting for Dummies. And I, along with with T. Morris, I mentioned him earlier, who's also going to be a Blog World, he and I collaborated to crank out Podcasting for Dummies in 2005. And that was my first foray into podcasting, into writing. And we've since that time, we've released, I think it's called Expert Podcasting Practices for Dummies, which is quite arguably the worst title ever. And a second edition of Podcasting for Dummies, where we had Chuck Tomasi come help us do some writing on that one as well. So three books have my name on the spine, and none of them are science fiction. I like to read it. I have no desire to write it.
Nice. Well, let's talk about Blog World NYC. As you know, Blog World has not that they have a renewed interest, because that is not the case at all. They've had an interest of including and promoting and moving podcasting as an industry forward ever since their original launch. I think the story that I heard was when they launched Blog World back in 2007, it was news to them that right before their first event, they found out, oh, there's already a podcast expo. And so they even had a desire to include podcasting back then, but then they took over, you know, the podcasting track or the podcasting conference rights from Podcast New Media Expo from the Berkman Brothers. All of that stuff. They've been trying to do their best to include podcasting, to let the world know that Blog World isn't just about blogging. And this year, I think that they've done some amazing things in bringing the podcasting track to a full 3-day track, 24 different sessions that we're having on podcasting. And you, my friend, are going to be in 5 of these sessions.
I'm not the world's greatest when it comes to math, but that sounds like 73% or something. Well, it may not be that many, but it's a pretty big number. 5 out of 25. Wow.
Yeah. Well, 24. So, but still, that's even more, isn't it? But anyway, let's talk about this. The first session that you proposed is from book to podcast and back again. And I believe that you're going to be doing that with T. Morris. Tell us what this session is going to be about and what people might expect if they wanted to come to it.
So this is obviously pointed towards people who are authors and leveraging some of the things that we've done with patiobooks.com because they've got a book that has been written. They need distribution. They need people to read it. Books suffer from two primary problems. Number one is most books are terrible. But getting past that, the second problem that most books experience is they just don't have any distribution. They're awash in a sea of hundreds of thousands of other titles that have been released any given day. And with the advent of ebook explosion, it's really hard to make a splash. You know, Smashwords is the number one place where people release independently produced ebooks, because ebooks are very simple to produce and create right now. And they have something insane, like 3,000 books each month are published on Smashwords, and it's, you know, you're 1 in 3,000 in a 30-day period. That's very difficult to really get a handle on. Podcasting can do that because it's A, it's free, and B, it allows people to beat the drum for you over time and share files. It's not just one thing they have to go through and do. It's a weekly or every other day or however quickly they're being produced, and kind of ongoing slow drip as you do that. So it's one way for authors to get extra exposure that they wouldn't have been able to get in any way. And that's what podiobooks.com is all about. But the other piece of it is, for that's the book to the podcast version, but then and back again is my encouragement to people. Perhaps they're not yet authors, but they have all of this material. I'm working right now with a longtime podcaster. Her name is Dr. Ginger Campbell. She does the Brain Science podcast, and she has all of these interviews. Many of them are transcribed that she has done for the last 5 years, and we're working together to create an ebook out of that information, out of that same material. We'll take those transcriptions and rewrite them and edit them and put them up into some sort of a book form. So this idea that one media can go to another form of media is very exciting to me, and we're doing it, and I want to talk and share that with the world.
Excellent. I know for myself, many people have told me, gosh, Cliff, you have an exciting story about somebody who started out as a hobby, you know, podcasting about a TV show, and then all of a sudden you turn your full-time career into it. Mm-hmm. And I literally have more than 3,000 episodes of my life in this journey. Sure. Online. So I'm like, you know, I don't want to sit. I used to blog before I started podcasting, but when I found podcasting, I was like, I'd much rather speak behind a microphone than to type at a keyboard.
Right.
So my problem is how do I sift through all of those episodes and come out with that book? So I might come to your session just to check out, see some of these things, some of these tips that you have for people who have all this content. Mm-hmm. Who could probably turn that into a book.
You bet we can.
All right. That's going to be Tuesday at 2:30 p.m. If anybody's interested, you can put that down on your calendar for coming to Blog World NYC. The next session I have down, this is another session that you proposed, is Podcasting for Creatives. And you're going to be doing that with Murr Lafferty and Kate Baker. Before you tell us about the session, can you tell me about Murr Lafferty and Kate Baker? Just tell me just a little bit about who those folks are.
Let me take Murr and you take Kate. That way I'm not talking the entire time. How about that? Okay. We can do a little trade-off here. So Murr Lafferty has been a very good friend of me as a podcaster. She was a listener to the old science fiction stuff we were doing. But unbeknownst to her, we were also a listener of hers. She was doing a geek foo podcast, and we loved it, my partner and I and the other folks who were involved with the show. And one day we sent her an email or called her, I forget exactly how it happened, and she was all a Twitter that we had contacted her because she had been big fans of ours, listening to her for a long time. So Murr's a science fiction author. Murr is a fantastic, dynamic, crazy human being. She's really insane, and I love her. She's got a gift of storytelling that's fantastic. And she has released several books on podiobooks.com. She does a podcast called I Should Be Writing, and to encourage authors to continue going down that area. So that's who Murr is. You want to give a quick rundown of Kate?
Well, I wish I knew a whole lot more about Kate. You know, my genre of podcasting, as you know, is that I've been into the fan podcasting, the faith-based mm-hmm. podcasting, mm-hmm. technology podcasting, and stuff like that. What I do know about Kate Baker is that she was referred to me by Nathan Lowell, also in the author community and stuff like that. So he said that I should definitely reach out to her. And what I do know about her is she's from Clark's World Magazine.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so I know that there's something about, you know, author podcasting that she brings to the table. And she's also going to be running a session called, I think it's called Learn the Part of Podcast Narration. So we'll talk a little mm-hmm. bit more about that in just a moment. But tell us about Podcasting for Creatives. What are folks going to get out of that? Who might be interested in attending this session?
So this one's a little bit softer, where the first one is obvious about authors and who people who may want to become authors for the book to podcast and back again. Podcasting for Creatives, we want to be a little more general in nature because there's lots of different types of creativity and maybe having a published book at the end of it is not what's required. So here we're thinking about people who are artists. Here we're thinking about people who are storytellers, not necessarily in a print form. You know, here are performers of some way or another. And podcasting, because it's not just audio, as well you know, and the listeners here in Oak Cliff, it's also video. You can podcast, you can distribute just about anything via an RSS feed. We want to explore some of those interesting ideas and look at the creative people that we interact with who are our friends on a daily basis and hopefully spark some ideas from other people who are creative in one way. You know, maybe you're big into, I don't know, sculpting. There are ways you could use podcasting to both explore new areas inside of sculpting, learn more about sculpting, or share your knowledge about that. We just want to give some ideas on how people could use this medium to either get more or give more for that which they are creative about.
Will you be giving some tips on the art of storytelling at all? Like for folks out there, like some key elements that you can include in a podcast? Or is that something that's more technical than what you are looking to get into?
I don't think we're going to do that in that particular session, but as you mentioned a moment ago, you've stuck me on my 17th panel is going to be learn the part of podcast narration, and you just mentioned that as well, and Kate and Murr are going to be on that one as well. That one we're going to get laser focused. We're going to get deeply into what it means to be a great narrator, which I will translate as what it means to be a good storyteller. Everybody's got great and fantastic stories, whether those are written stories or whether they're stuck inside of their head. Not everyone is able to properly convey that story to an audience. There is an art form to it. There are things not to do. There are things definitely to do. So we want to talk what that actually takes. So if you're a storyteller and you want to get better at making sure that verbally, orally, you're getting your information out there, that's definitely the one you want to come to. So we'll talk about those parts and pieces that need to be in there.
Wonderful. I just want to quickly just say that your Podcasting for Creatives, that session is going to be Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. And the Learn the Art of Podcast Narration is going to be on Thursday at 2:30 p.m. I do want to actually back up on Thursday. You have another session that you're going to be in with T. Morris. You mentioned that you co-authored a couple books with him.
Yeah.
And so the real spiel, the realistic approach in monetizing your podcast. We have actually two different sessions on monetizing podcasts this time around here at Blog World NYC. Just real quickly, give me some examples of things that people that you've seen that have monetized a podcast in a way that works. Just one or two.
I'm pretty sure that T and I are going to take a different tack than your typical how to monetize your podcast spiel, because we have a different approach with it. I'll use my co-host, T. Morris, as part of that. T was an early adopter of the podcast fiction idea and did it for a number of years and managed to build his audience to the point where he got the attention of a large publisher who has picked up his books, are no longer self-published or through a small publisher. He actually has a nice, lucrative writing contracts now. And all of it because, A, he was a good storyteller, and B, wrote very good books. But more importantly than that, or perhaps equally as important as that, is that he leveraged his podcast to create the kind of audience that people would make. I'll use my second example. I'll use me. I monetized a podcast I was doing as a hobby and fun, and I got paid a pretty decent paycheck to write those three different Dummies books. So when we're talking about monetizing a podcast, we're not talking about how to properly insert ads. We're going to talk about how you can leverage that podcast to show your expertise, gain exposure to somebody who actually might pay you money to do something where it's more of an online resume, I guess, if you will. So yeah, we didn't make money with our podcast. We made money from our podcast. And we want to talk about other people out there who figured out ways to do that, where we're not looking at what's my per revenue amount for each episode I'm putting out, but how can I make sure that I'm positioning this properly so that I get paid by somebody, not necessarily for the work I'm doing, but because of the work that I'm doing.
Exactly. I'm thrilled to hear you guys covering that from that perspective, it's certainly been mostly how I generated a majority of my revenue from my podcasting efforts as well. So there's going to be a balanced approach to various different ways that you can monetize your podcast. If you guys want to check out this monetization session, again, that's Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Then one of the final sessions of Blog World altogether is going to be on Thursday at 3:45 p.m. It is called The State of Podcasting for 2012. And I'll tell folks that Tom Webster from Edison Research, he is very well known in the podcasting community for delivering these State of the Union or State of Podcasting speeches for the podcasting industry. And Edison Research is responsible for doing a lot of major polling and research for like news for they do the political polls and all kinds of that stuff. So these people know data. And, you know, about every other year or so, they put out some great podcasting research stats. There you go. Anyway, they put out these research stats, and he's delivered these in the past as a full session. Basically, you know, an entire hour-long conversation on everything you ever wanted to know about what's going on in the world of podcasting when it comes to the numbers. This year around, Tom is actually going to be doing another session at Blog World that is requiring a lot of research and putting the data together in visualized form. So he's not able to put together that full one, you know, that full information. However, he said that they did recently do some updated research. They will be coming out with a report later in the year, but he does have some information that he thinks is vitally important for the podcasting community to know. And so he proposed that Tom would come and share that new information that is available. And then there would be a panel of four folks. And in fact, Evo, you're going to be on the session. T. Morris is going to be on that session. Todd Cochran and myself, we're going to sit down and talk about what does this new information mean about where we are as an industry in podcasting.
Great. I'm looking forward to that. I'm a major data geek. I love getting into those numbers and figuring out what they mean and trying to make some predictions on what's happening. And, you know, podcasting has changed a whole lot since 2004. And I'm curious to see what Tom comes up with. I don't want to speculate what those numbers are because I certainly haven't seen them, but I'm really looking forward to that final session.
I am as well. Well, Evo, I really appreciate you taking the time with me this morning to come here and talk about the sessions that you've got going on. If anybody has never been to a Blog World event, can you just tell them what they might get? I mean, just outside of the sessions themselves, what benefits have you received from attending these types of conferences?
You know, when I first started going to the podcast expos, I've been to all of them. I'm the kind of person who I went to mingle and I went to meet people because it's those hallway conversations I think that are the most valuable. There's plenty of info in sessions and I definitely enjoy attending sessions, but I get most of my benefit out of it outside of sessions, walking the expo floor, seeing the new things that's out there, and then meeting people in the bar, and because that's just a great place to sit and chat, and you can put some of the faces to the people you've been listening to for a very, very long time, or get to know people you've been watching on video a lot better. It's the greatest networking event that's not a networking event ever. I mean, these are just regular folks that like to talk. Everybody's exploring, oh, hey, I listen to you. Oh, hey, well, I listen to you too. And these are great conversations to have. And for me, it's been long-lasting friendships. I have people that I have only ever seen at events like these, and we continue to stay in touch today. We continue to share information and ideas. It's a very small world out there. We're all connected through computers and cameras, and you can really extend your reach and sphere of influence and find people that can really help you with the things you want. I think the events are great. If you have even a slight interest in podcasting, it sounds like this is definitely going to be the place to be.
Excellent. My friends, if you guys go to blogworldexpo.com and click to register, Evo has a special promo code. If you want to type in PodEvo, that's EVO 10, you get 10% off, and it'll let people know that you have decided to sign up and register for Blog World as a result of hearing about some of the sessions that he's participating in. Evo, thank you again very much, and I look forward to seeing you in June.
Thanks, Cliff. See you soon.
Well, that's going to wrap it up here for this fourth episode of the Podcast Report. And I've got to tell you, we have not even begun to scratch the surface of all of the amazing content that is coming to the podcasting track of Blog World and New Media Expo on June 5th, 6th, and 7th in New York City. If you haven't done so already, head over to blogworldexpo.com and sign up today. If you want, you can add that virtual ticket option on there, just like Johnny told us about. For those of you who can't come to New York City, you can get the standalone virtual ticket option. Of course, if you want to save 10% on any of this stuff, use promo code GSPN10 when you register. Get 10% off. I hope I see you and all of our other podcasting friends in June.